Morning. I want to tell you from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ that we're happy to have you visiting with us this morning. We want to encourage you anytime that you want to come out and worship with us, feel free to do so. Our doors swing on welcome hinges. The only thing that I ask and I encourage you to do is if you are visiting with us this morning to stick around just a little bit so we can get to know a little bit about you and you can get to know a little bit about us. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would like for you to turn to Romans chapter 14, and we'll be looking at verses 7 through 8. And while you do that, I want to share something with you. I heard the story about a kindergarten teacher who wanted so badly to teach her young students about self-esteem. And so she asked the question, if anyone has felt dumb, to stand up. Of course, in her mind, she says, well, I don't think anybody would stand up. And if they do, I would tell them that they're the future's best and brightest. So about that time, little Bobby stood up and she was like, oh, no, what am I going to do now? And she looks to Bobby and says, surely, Bobby, you don't feel dumb, do you? He says, no, ma'am. I just didn't want you to be the only person standing up by yourself. Four preachers were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because it's simple, a beautiful English language. Another one preferred the American Standard Version because it was more literal and it comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. And still another favored the New King James Version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. But when the fourth preacher was asked his opinion about what translation of the Bible he liked the best, he replied, I like my mother's translation the best. The other three were puzzled by this. They began to scratch their heads and they were like trying to be funny. Said, well, we were unaware that your mother had translated the Bible. And he said, yes, she did. She translated the Bible into life. She lived what she read, and what she read, she lived. It was the most convincing translation I ever saw. The good mother had a fine Christian influence on her son. So the question I'm asking you this morning is, what about our influence? So what is the definition of the word influence? Influence means to affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, or alter the conduct, thought, or character of another. Now, saints, it can be either for better or it could be for worse. And let's face it, every single person that is here this morning has influence. I remember a while back, I think it was Charles Barkley who said that I'm not a role model. I'm telling you this morning, as believers and followers of Christ, you have influence. In Romans chapter 14, looking at verses 7 and 8, it says, for none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. I'm telling you that this day is the day that you have to make a conscious choice to either live for him or die for him. And either way, you have to make a decision. Either you're going to die to sin or you're going to live in righteousness. And we should be concerned about our influences for two reasons. The first reason is because of the fate of our own souls. In Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 12, it reads, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. You have a responsibility to yourself if you care about yourself, if you care about your final destination. You will make sure that your faith is in the right hands. And the second reason will be because of the faith of others. The fate of others. In 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, The infallible word of God reads these words. It says, inflaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. These people that are out here who don't understand the gospel, yeah, we play a major part in that. We play a major part in making sure that they understand the importance of being in Christ. They need to understand what a life looks like for living for Christ. And I think it is important for us to understand that our influences play a big part in that. The New Testament tells us, though, saints, that there's something that we must do, that we must guard our influences. We must be aware of our influences and how powerful they really are. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 13 through 16. And this particular chapter and verses, Jesus is in the story of the Sermon on the Mount. And he said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, he tells us something very important, that you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, the case in point I'm making is we got to be the salt of the earth. We got to be the light of the world. Why? Because we're in a world filled with darkness. And it's so important that you understand your influence and how it impacts others. It says, let your light shine before others, before men, before women, before co-workers, before family members, before people that you are around at the ballpark, at the gym. Let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works, your good influences, your good conversation, your good examples, your ability to show patience, your ability to show kindness, your ability to show love to one another. Because when you do that and you have that in you, your Father, which is in heaven, will get the glory. That's why I'm telling you that influences are important. See, as Christians, we can't bring glory to God by allowing sin to move in, by allowing sin to take place and set up resident in our lives. Yeah, you know, sin comes in with his backpack, comes in with three or four luggages because it plans on staying. It plans on hanging around for a while. But you don't open up your household or your heart to that is open to God, so that sin can stay in, like things like smoking, the use of foul language, lying, cheating, gossiping, fornicating, watching shows that are ungodly, looking at things on the internet that you ought not be looking at. And then you go to work and you're around other people who have no clue about God, who have no understanding about the influences that one should be living and acting like. And then you invite them to services and you wonder why they don't show up. See, you say that you love God, but your conversation doesn't reflect that. You say that you're a Christian and you're all about God and all about these righteous and holy things, but you can get in the conversation and get in with the dirty jokes and laugh with them and expect to be a good influence. See, when we get out of sight or line of the church, we forget about who we really are. I was talking to my brother and we were talking about how a man looks intently at himself in the mirror, and then when he walks away, as soon as he leaves the mirror, he forgets exactly who he is. We do the same thing. We come in here with our representatives with our suit and tie on and looking good and looking nice, and we all tow up inside, and then we say that we got it together, and the moment we get in the parking lot, we forget who God is. Some of us, it may take till Monday, maybe to Tuesday. For a lot of us, it only takes an hour. As soon as we're out of sight and out of the vision and a line of sight of other members, we forget about God. You no longer have the flavor of a Christian. You no longer have the light of God in you. And the light has gone dim, and people can't tell whether you are a Christian or just someone who is living in the world. And this type of thing, saints, brings shame upon the church, the Lord's church, and it dishonors God. Saints, we ought to be an example. We are told to be an example. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 4 and verse 12. We ought to be an example. The Word of God tells us this is how we need to be. It says, let no one, verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. See, when you live your life and you leave this church, this is not the only time where you put on a smile. This is not the only time that when people ask you, how you doing? You say, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, you need to do it all day, every day. It needs to be a part of who you are in the way that you walk, in the way that you talk, in the way that you love, in the way that you bring the faith that you have, and in the purity of how you live your life. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good work. That's talking about influence. That's talking about how you live your life. In respects of and in all teaching others by integrity and dignity that you have. The moment you say that you're a Christian, I'm telling you, people are looking at you. People are waiting to see what you're really about. They're waiting to see if you're really serious about God's business. And we really need to consider the power of good influence. Yeah, we talk about bad influence, but what about the good influences that we have to show? Now, I'm a father of two, and you will probably never see what I see at home. That's part of the plan. Listen, at home, they swing from the ceiling fans. You don't see that. You don't see that at all. I was just talking to Michael Holland. Remember, I said, Mike, I said after 12 o'clock, they were talking about snacks. My children can't eat snacks after 9. You remember Gremlins? You remember how cute Gizmo was? Yeah, let them have some snacks a little bit after 10 o'clock, and they look like, what's his name, Stripe. They just change into something different. But I understand that if I am to show them what patience is really like, I have to do that based on my influence. I can't just tell them things and expect for them to understand it. I have to show them by living it out. Good influence, saints, has great power. And while the world has mastered the art of influence, both good and both bad, we too as Christians must master the good influence and understand the great power that it has. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. That's Joshua chapter 24. And let me show you the good influence and how powerful it really and truly is. That's Joshua chapter 24. And we'll begin reading at verse 14 and 15. And the infallible word of God reads, Joshua 24, beginning with verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is saying here, I'm going to lead by example. I understand the choices that other people made. I understand the things that other people did, but I'm going to set the example by making a choice. And the choice that I'm going to do is I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, for me and my wife, for me and my children, and anyone who comes to live under this roof, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to set an example by what I've chosen to do. Do you consistently set those types of examples for others to follow based on your behavior? What behavior have you chosen that other people can follow? What is it that you're doing that you can say that they can look at that example and without a doubt, God can be proud of that example? We have to keep those things in mind, in our habits, the things that we allow, the money you give, the time that you spend with God, the quiet time you give him every single day. It matters. Our influence matters. We talk about all the time about what we want. Can I be Frank? Or can I be John? Okay, I'll just be Chris. We have to understand this one thing. Everybody says what they want to do. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better husband. I want to make more money. I want to be this. I want. I want you to listen to this. Want shows up in conversation. I'll say that again. Want shows up in conversation. Expectation shows up in your behavior. God knows what you expect by what you do. So you can say all day long, I want to be better. That's in conversation because it sounds good. But God understands exactly what to expect from you by your behavior. The word of God says what? That you judge a tree by the what? The fruit that it bears. It didn't say by the fruit it wants to bear, by the fruit it thinks about bearing. It didn't say anything about the fruit it desires to bear. It says by the fruit it bears. So your influence is that important. Joshua, in Joshua 24 and verse 31, it says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. That was based on the influence and the followers that saw his influence because he chose to do what was right. And you tell me that our influence is not important. We have a lot of people that are in the church who act as if their influence is not important. And for us as Christians, we can win souls through Christ based on good influence. Think about it, saints. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at verse 16. Now, I want you to know I got a lot of scripture. I need you to hang in there with me. I got a lot of scripture, but we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this, saints. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 16, it says, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? I can tell you how based on your influence. Yeah, it may take some time. Yeah, it's difficult, but you influence them by doing the right thing. When you're coming to services, when they're trying to influence you, not. When you have a spouse or an individual that's in your family that does not go to the Church of Christ, that is not in Christ, you deal with that over and over again, but your influence to some degree, at some point, it will matter. It will come a time where they'll test to see if you're serious about this. Are you fully invested in being a child of God? And you can sway them based on your influence. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12, it says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which wars against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So you're telling me that I need to make sure that my conduct is where it needs to be. And as I'm doing the right thing, setting the right example, having the right influence, that if I do this, that evildoers will see my good works. They'll see my good influence. They'll see what I have done and my words back up my actions. God gets the glory. Why? Because I said that I was a Christian. Why? I worship at the South Fair Church of Christ. And people start listening and looking and they start observing what you do. And the moment that you continue to stay the course, they say, well, wow, this Christian business is something good. The God that you serve, I mean, I've been wanting to go off on that boss, on my boss forever. And he's disrespectful to you. He does this and does that. And yet you remain the same good, loving, kind person, tell me about your God. Good influences can cause evildoers also to be ashamed. Oh, and I love this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. You tell me that influences aren't important. They are absolutely important. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Oh, that's going to be some times when people are trying to figure out where you're getting this from. How are you able to withstand this? How are you able to keep going? Why is it that you keep praying to this God? Why do you keep serving this God? Why do you keep loving on people? And then when you do that, it says that with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. No, I'm sorry. And then we speak against evildoers. They may by your good works, which they observe. I'm sorry. Having a good conscience, then when they defame you as evildoers, they revile your good conduct in Christ, and they may be ashamed. Why? Because the moment that they want to look and say that you're doing something, they see the good influences which you have done, and it puts everything that they're willing to speak against. When they call you a Bible thumper, when they tell you that you are anti, because you are anti this and anti that, and you're a person that just loves the Lord, that's okay, because you can't find any fault, any evil in what I do, and everything that I do lines up with the word of God. And as a result, you ought to be ashamed. What about our influences? What about the influences of Jesus? What he had with the disciples? He taught them how to love one another, how to respect other individuals. And then he also showed them love, and he showed them mercy and forgiveness. And what a great influence it had over them. And because of it, they follow them. Think about it. You want to have some people be led to Christ? You follow Christ, as Christ is a representation, is the Son of God. You follow Christ, and people see that Christ in you, and they will follow you. We wonder why we're having such a hard time. I think it's because of our influence. We are losing grip of that influence we once had. You know, my family, to the degree now, when I come, before they used to be like, oh, I'm so excited. Oh, Chris is coming. But you know, I was the life of the party. I was going to have fun, cracking jokes, yay. Now when I come, they treat me like Jehovah's Witness. As soon as I come to the door, they won't answer the door. You can see them running in the house. I'm like, I can see you inside. No, we know that you're going to come, and you're going to talk about Christ, and you're going to talk about how I need to get in the church. You're going to talk about how I need to be baptized. You're going to talk about how I need to rededicate my life, because I understand the importance and the value of the soul. Listen, in Thessalonica, in the church, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. From your influence, the word of the Lord is sounding forth. The way you live your life is sounding forth, and people want to know more about God. And one more reason why good influence has great power, because it has the power to live past death. I want you to think about this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. You think about that. What influence and legacy do you leave behind to the point that even after your death, the example that you set still speaks? That's how we ought to be living. That's how you want to live a legacy, where my children's children's children talk about how faithful grandpa was and great granddaddy was, and how he loved the Lord, and how faithful he was, and how he loved everybody and individuals, and loved coming to worship and loving individuals. It still speaks. Now, I can't talk about all these good influences without talking about the bad. We also know that bad influences has great power as well, and it could lead people to sin. And I'll give you a few examples of bad influence. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. The infallible word of God says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Want to talk about influence. And for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Influences matter, saints. What we do, what we say, how we live matters. False teachers are bad influences as well. We deal with it every day. I do more unlearning than people having no clue at all. I do more unteaching about false teaching and the misconception about things than anything else. In Galatians chapter 5, looking at verses 7 through 9, it says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. All it takes is for one person to say something, and then it reciprocates, and then it's this thing, that, well, I thought it was. Well, I thought that's how it all was. Well, don't y'all do this? Well, I thought this. And it continues to happen. And a lot of them buy into it. A lot of them, it's more so about what the preacher says and what God has to say on them. Well, my preacher said, well, my preacher told me, well, my preacher said, well, what does God say about the matter? Listen, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to go to hell because they're listening to false teachers, and they do not understand the power of influence. So let me ask you this question. So what should our attitude be in regards of our influence? I want you to think about it. What should your attitude be? How should you truly be conducting yourselves? Should it be, don't blame me for your bad behavior? It's not my fault. I get it. I got it. You need to get it. I figured it out. You need to figure it out. Or should we have the same attitude of Christ? He came to seek and save the lost. And I am determined to be the influence that Christ died for me to be. He gave his life so that we could get it to the point where the influence in which he had on us, we would reciprocate to a lost and dying world. We better understand that God's attitude towards those who influence others to sin too. We got to be careful about our influence. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, it says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, and he gets real descriptive about what you need to do. He says it would be better for you to put a milestone around your neck and jump into the depths of the sea. I had a coach, and whenever we did something, he told us to step on out. I'm telling you that when you act like this, God's going to say step on out. Just going down there, might as well tie around your neck, jump into that there, and go to the bottom. It's better for you to do that than to influence someone else to go in an opposite direction. We should stay away from anything that will hurt our influence. In Romans chapter 14, 13 to 16, he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause another to fall. I know, and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of food, or you are no longer walking in love, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Influence, saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from every evil. Many things aren't wrong in and of themselves, but they may lead someone to sin, and we have to be careful. Our influences as Christians cannot be overemphasized. I can come in here every Sunday and say, we got to make sure our influence is right. We got to make sure we're setting the right example. Hey, remember what I said, that we're walking advertisements for Christ. Remember, you are a representation of Christ. Remember what you say and what you do, and every act counts. I can say that every Sunday, and it matters every Sunday. I want to leave you with this. This poem. The slightest breeze that ever blew, some slender grass has wavered. The smallest life I ever knew, some other life has flavored. We cannot live our lives alone. For other lives we touch are either strengthened by our own or weakened just as much. If you are here this morning and you are a Christian, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that your influence has not been that of Christ, it has not been that of a Christian, you have not done the things you know you need to do. Listen, you know that better than anybody in this building. I don't have to come up with some wordy thing to persuade you. You know deep down in your heart what it is you need. And if you're here this morning, you have not obeyed the gospel. You have not given your whole heart and your life over to Christ. I'm encouraging you to do so. I'm encouraging you to take into consideration of where you will spend eternity. And if you feel and you're compelled in your heart and you know without a doubt, it's not just me that's here that can help you. We have able-bodied men that are capable, who are willing to walk with you, who will study with you. If you need to talk with the shepherds, they're more than willing to talk with you. If you want to talk with me, just do it. I mean, it's worth it. I care enough and I love you enough. We can do this together. And if that is your desire, on this day, to give your heart to Christ, please do so now as together we stand and sing.